Blog Talk Radio.
Touch my skin and tell me what you're thinking. Take my hand and show me where we're going. Lie down next to me, look into my eyes and tell me, oh tell me what you're seeing. So sit on top of the world and tell me how you're feeling. What you feel is what I feel for you. Take my hand, and if I'm lying to you, I'll always be alone.
good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. Another evening at Bringing Sexy Back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And I have my co-host on the line, and I also have a guest co-host. Good evening, Rhea. Good evening, Terry. How you ladies doing?
Hello. How are you, Gail?
Good evening. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. It's been a heck of a month this month with the government shutdown, then it's Breast Cancer Month, and also Domestic Violence Month. And did you also know that it was Eczema Month?
No, I didn't.
Yes, yes, it's Eczema Month. And my guest this evening is a sufferer of eczema, and her name is Gwendolyn Yarborough-Hall, and she's an eczema survivor. She shares her story of living with this disease for more than 5 decades. She also talks about the unbearable emotional and physical pain, and she is now a group leader for the National Eczema Association, D.C. Metro Chapter. Gwendolyn is a poetess, a dancer, belly and tap, mentor, and an educator. And we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to bring her right in and get right down to this dilemma that she suffered with for over 5 decades. And if anybody's out there listening who has eczema, you know, maybe you can ask her some questions about how she's dealing with it, and, you know, maybe she can direct you in a direction where you want to go to get help with it if you haven't gotten help. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Ms. Yarborough-Hall.
Yes, how are you,
Hi,
Gail?
Hi, how are you, darling? I am fantastic.
I am great.
And yourself?
I am great. Thank you so much, and your co-host. I'd like to dedicate this show to my late aunt, Mamie Hall. She wrote a poem about it, and I'd like to just read it, please. Skin is here forever. Eczema was not to the bone. Eczema faded away, but my beauty skin has held its own. Kiss me and do not fear. In God I trusted, now I'm healed. And that was by the late Mamie Dunstan.
Oh, nice.
Mamie Dunstan Hall. We have the same last name.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up at. Do you have any siblings and, you know, different things
of
that nature?
Yes, I'm the oldest of five. My parents, the late Baxter Yarborough and Virginia Yarborough, I was the only one in my immediate family that suffered with this disease. It's a very terrible disease. It affects the family. It affects the person, me, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I was raised in Southeast Washington. I went to, I think we went to some of the same schools, Stanton, Douglas Junior High, and Anacostia. And having this disease, I had to miss a lot of the milestones in my life, including graduation from the sixth grade. My first year in junior high school, I missed 45 days, which most people, you would fail with that because I was hospitalized with it. It affects me by breakouts of rash, and a lot of times it's bleeding. You wake up and your sheets are full of blood or pus, and you can't go out. You can't even have anything touch your body. It's been that bad.
Let me ask you this. When was you diagnosed with it?
Oh, when I was maybe about 4 or 5 years old. Just starting school.
So you say no one else in your family has
not
it.
In my immediate family. Like I said, I'm the oldest of five. Some of the cousins have it on the Yarborough side. They have it. And I understand it's now I feel it's environmental with all of this pollution that's going on. Now that the seasons are changing, it's winter's coming now, so your skin dries out a lot. What else? The foods that you eat, stress, all of those are can trigger it. And I think it's in the DNA, too.
Well, what actually causes it? Oh, I'm sorry. Go on, Terry.
Okay. from what I know about eczema, like you said, the rash and everything. Now, you mentioned that sometimes you will wake up with blood and pus and everything. Is it because your skin is dry that you scratch it? Because
exactly. Exactly. You're exactly right. You're scratching while you're in your sleep. And that's why I really advise people who have it, keep your fingernails really short, very, very short. And sometimes I even have to wear gloves at night.
Okay. And how did it affect your interaction with children since you were diagnosed earlier? Because kids, they don't know. And sometimes
the stares. The name calling, I was called Rashy Tashy. Yes, children are so cruel now. Well, back then and now, too, because they don't know. That's why I've made it my mission to educate people about it. It's not contagious. If it's not in your DNA, there's a possibility you may not get it. I did have one woman, she was in her 80s, she called me for support, emotional support, and we have to keep laughter and humor in everything that happens. So she says, well, Miss Hall, at least I only have, I don't have that long to itch because I'm in my 80s. Like, okay. Mm. But, you know, it does affect the entire family.
Are you married by any chance?
Pardon?
Are you married by any chance?
No, I'm a widow.
Okay, well, so then before your husband passed away, so it wasn't a problem. He saw your true beauty. He didn't care about your skin disease. He just saw who you were. Because sometimes, you know, as quiet as kept, a lot of us, you know, when we see some differences in other people, in our ignorance, not knowing a lot of things, sometimes we shy away from people and don't get to embrace the person that we're dealing with because, you know, just as how we are, we're visual creatures. What we see, like me today, if I see a guy when I go places, they got rashes and stuff, when I go to the doctor, I say, ew, I just shiver, you know, and I back away because I don't want them to touch me. Because I seen a guy come into the office this week when I was there, and he had, you know, probably the same thing you described, you know, all of his legs. And you immediately just lean back and don't want to embrace that person. So other than the kids being cruel and, you know, calling you Rashy Tashy or whatever, did you find a problem within the family getting the love and the embraces, you know, that you didn't get from people on the outside?
No, the family was very supportive. In fact, in my book, I have reflections of what my family was saying. And if you'd like, I can read some of them to you.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Okay, this was from my late sister, Valerie Yarborough. All I remember is that you were miserable. You scratched a lot. You would make that noise as you tried to get some ease to your inner torture. You were introverted and stayed to yourself a lot. You could not do anything. Some things were to your advantage, as you could not wash dishes, you could not wash clothes, you could not wear wool. That wasn't good because it was cold. You could not stay outside long. You were always haunted by the childhood taunting of your peers. They called you Rashy Tashy, and that hurt you so much. I felt sorry for you, but when it came to the dishes, you got over like a fat rat. I'm glad that you finally have some relief and are doing well and helping others to heal. Keep up the good work. And then my sister Nancy, she says, what I remember the most was that when you got a bad breakout, you felt really bad. You thought you looked really bad, but actually you didn't. You were my sister, and I wanted to comfort you and let you know it was okay. But you were the oldest, and for some reason I thought because you were older, it didn't count when I saw it.
Oh,
and
wow.
One from an aunt, Jamel, my earliest introduction to your eczema was my first summer on a visit to Aunt Virginia Bread and Uncle Rugged's home. Your eyes were very red, weeping and swollen. Your neck was flared with patches of superficial openings and weeping. I checked your meds, and you were taking the prednisone taper, Benadryl, and Pertusin for the itching. The saddest restriction I remember was that everyone was going out for ice cream and you were not allowed outside due to the hot weather. I also remember that the house was hotter than outdoors. We did not have air conditioning, but you were allowed to use the big old dusty fan blowing hot air. I also remember the wise words from your mother. You think Gwendolyn's skin is bad. You should have seen her before I took her to the doctor. And then my brother, Ronald Yarborough, I often prayed that God would take the disease from you and give it to me because I felt I could deal with the teasing better than you. I remember some of the medicine you had to put on was stinky. You had to endure the pain and the unpleasant smell. So
let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned Ronald. That was really sweet what he had said. He also has a most beautiful voice. Did he ever sing to you for comfort?
No, not during that time. No.
Okay, because he does. He has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What causes eczema?
Stress, pollution. Scientists really don't, there's no cure for it right now. food allergies, again, in the DNA, that could affect it too.
Mm-hmm. Because
okay, I'm also a sufferer of eczema, and mine only tends to flare up when I'm highly stressed.
Yes.
Unfortunately, as a child, I was constantly plagued by it. And one of the things I remember the most, as an adult, I've only had maybe two bouts of it. Then it presented itself in a different manner, which actually ultimately led to me making decision to change my life. But anyway, when I was younger, the medication they gave me, I'm very dark-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And the medication they gave me was chalky. And my mother didn't allow me to stay out of school. And I was caught in a situation where basically cotton was the only thing that I could put next to me, and it could only be next to me for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have to run everywhere because I had to get in out the weather. But I'm very dark-skinned, and it was chalky. And I remember being called Casper. people started calling me diarrhea.
Mm.
Wow.
Because they would leak, especially in the creases.
Right.
Like the creases of my neck and right where if I scratched them. I was really, really good about not scratching them. But not just that. I was a nail biter, so that was a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
But they called me diarrhea. They called me gonorrhea.
Oh, my God.
And these are kids. And, I mean, from, like, fourth grade was the worst.
Because
I also was plagued with the breakout for my mine basically occurred on my face and my neck.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then it would extend to my chest and my back. But it didn't go to the other parts of my body. But, oh, and it would get in my scalp.
Mm-hmm.
So my hair sometimes would come out in patches in areas where it was heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord knows they talked about my hair all the time and my complexion. But, I mean, kids can be the cruelest things. One time my lips looked like they had been burnt because there was just that infested. And I have pinker lips when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were already contrasted that dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost looked like you had put, because what I also had cold sores that I think came as a result of that, but it was also part of the eczema. And it looked like my lips had been burnt.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, some of everything from ducky to shit lips, I mean, it was really ugly. And I just sit back and I look at that now, and as an adult, I know I could have dealt with it better, but Lord knows I used to find ways to help ease my stress. Because I never wanted to see a flare out of that again, and I've been blessed to only have had it twice.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, three
blessed.
Times now because I'm suffering from it now, and it has been over 14 years since I've seen it, but I started seeing it about 2 weeks ago.
So I got a question to y'all ladies. So now that y'all older and y'all mature and y'all have all the reason behind it, can we joke about it now? I'll be joking.
Well, that's strange. Yeah, we can joke about it now. Because, like I said, humor, I think that's one of God's greatest gifts that he gives us,
yeah.
a chance to laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, because when I was coming through school, around, like you said, going to school, you know, I have a voluptuous butt, you know, and my mom, she would always say, put your shirt inside your pants, and I wouldn't wear my shirt on the outside of my pants, and going to school, elementary school was rough because I was called things from basketball butt. Now today that I'm older and mature, they say it's good to have a donkey donk, but back then, being skinny with a booty, it was not pleasing, so I guess we all have some cross to bear growing up, but I have to say I feel for y'all ladies because, you know, our face, our outward features, you know, that's how people see you, and people can be cruel, just not just children, adults, because sometimes adults will sit there, I've heard adults sit there and point at a child and say, ew, look at that, and they adults, you know, ladies, y'all have to be very loving because I found out that when people have went through some traumatic stuff, they learn how to be more compassionate because they know how they was treated and they don't want nobody else to feel that way. So I'm banking on the fact that y'all two ladies, y'all pray very compassionate women because you know what it feels like to be taunted.
Exactly. And as an adult, a few years ago I had a blind date and we met, and I had just gone through a really bad bout, so I couldn't eat a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me, he says, well, I can't see you anymore because you have too many problems with your skin. And I looked him in the eye and I said, you know what? My skin will heal, but stupidity doesn't.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we have to educate them. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're educating, and that's the purpose of you know, making it like you said, Gail. A lot is going on this month, and including National Eczema Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna get you on my also have a radio show, so you can educate some of my listeners. You know.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Oh.
Every day is so wonderful.
Alrighty then, that was Christina Aguilera, beautiful. And tonight's show, we have a special guest, Gwendolyn Yarbrough Hall, a sufferer of eczema, because this is Eczema Month, like I had mentioned in the beginning of the show. Also, Breast Cancer Month and Domestic Violence. So there's a lot of things going on this month, plus the government opened back up. So I know a lot of you government workers are happy about that, or not, but, you know, you do have a job. So
Yeah. We're
going to, you know, because a lot of people were, you know, wondering how I'm going to pay my rent, how I'm going to do this, blah, blah. But you know what? I always feel this way. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell other people how to feel, but when I'm feeling down and out or I have a problem, you know what I do? Always think of somebody who is worse off than me. Mm-hmm. You know, because I do have a roof over my head. I got a little hoopty that gets me from point A to point B. I have food. I have clothes. I have this. And, you know, riding up and down the street, seeing somebody that's homeless, you know, nowhere to sleep, you know, eating out a trash can, a garbage can or whatever, you know, it makes me grateful and thankful. So I have nothing to complain about, even though I do. But, you know, always think that there is somebody who's out there that's worse off than you. And we have a couple of callers here with their hands up, so I'm going to bring them in and see if they have a question or a comment for our, this evening's guest. 470, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Mr. B, what's up, darling? You have a question or a comment for our guest this evening?
Nah, I was just listening to the show, you know, and what was going on, and yeah, I feel you on that, being grateful. Everybody's situation is worse. I mean, somebody's situation is always worse when you think yours is can't get no worse. So, you know what I'm saying? You just got to be appreciative for what you got and what you get, and you know what I'm saying, the way life treats you. You just got to roll with the punches.
That is true. That is true. All right, Donna, so just stick and stay. I have another caller with their hand up.
All right.
804-347, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question or comment for this evening's guest?
Yeah, good evening. My name is Earl Mason, and I'm calling down from Richmond, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Earl.
Hey, Gwen, how you doing?
I am blessed. Thanks so much for calling and tuning in.
All right. Yeah, Gwen and I go way back. I know about 20 years when she lived in Richmond.
Uh-huh.
And, she was always a down-to-earth sister. And to know her, you wouldn't have known that she had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly pronounce it. But anyway,
yeah, eczema.
Yeah, she stayed the course and everything. She was very busy and very active down here. She taught college. She did a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so proud of her, and I just want to wish her Godspeed.
Oh, thank you so
that
much.
That is just so much.
I just love you too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I have to get down there and play pool with you, okay?
Let's do it. And how's Nancy, by the way?
She's fine. She
Hope
should be calling
listening.
In.
If you are, Nancy, a shout out to you too.
Thank you so much, Earl.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank
love you.
You.
Love you too. Hang in there. Bye bye.
Okay. Stick and stay, darling. Okay, Gwen, you're keeping busy. What are you doing that keeps you busy and keep your mind, you know, off of your eczema? You know, because I know at times you have to do something to escape those down times that you have when you're suffering with an outbreak.
Well,
I'm
learning how to play pool. That's one thing now. And I mentioned to you I'm still in the process of writing a second book. This one has to do with spirituality and how we are. You know, I think of this as my journey. This is my lot in this life at this time. And I'm just so glad that I was the chosen one to go through this instead of my, you know, my siblings. Now that I'm on the other side of it, like 5 decades of it, I write. I visit my mom. She's in a nursing home, and I visited her a couple of weeks ago, and she had shingles. And Gail, when I saw those marks on her, I just had a meltdown right there, because it reminded me of one of the worst sessions or breakouts that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dealing with that, you know, going to see her, just living my life because it is golden.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, darling. If everybody had that attitude, I'm quite sure it would be a beautiful world. Now, you're into dancing, belly and tap. How long have you been doing that? And how did you get involved in it?
My mom used to take me to enroll me in dance classes at the Frederick Douglass Center. I don't know whether you remember that on Alabama.
Yeah, I remember.
Alabama, yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's still there.
okay. Mm-hmm. That's how I got started. And I think that was kind of my escape from dealing with the eczema, just dance mm-hmm. like nobody's watching. And
right.
then I know when I was in California, I started liturgical dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I used as my reference 2 Samuel, I think it's 6:14, where David danced for the Lord, because nobody was doing that then at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
was in the late, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's doing praise dancing. But I would do it on retreats, single retreats, as a way of opening religious sessions for different churches. I would do the Lord's Prayer. That was my liturgical dance. And then I was teaching the children how to dance, and I remember the elders of the church, they used to call me the dancing deaconess, okay, because I was dancing, letting them know. But my heart was broken because I was teaching dance down in Richmond as an aftercare program using gospel music, and I was told I couldn't do that. And I'm thinking, the children will dance, they get the beat, and they can go on and sing, okay, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. But they said, no, you couldn't do that. You had to, and I said, well, oh, it's okay for them to listen to all of this secular music that deals with the raunchiness and all of that. That really broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
That really, really broke my heart. When I moved back to this area, some of the Anacostia classmates told me about belly dancing, so that's when I started mm-hmm. doing that. So dancing is a means of escape for me
mm-hmm.
because I'm dancing.
Now, how long
have you been
with the belly dancing?
Oh, that maybe 6 years.
Wonderful.
Okay, let me ask you something about belly dancing. Does that tone you up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're using the core, and, mm-hmm. well, you remember your mother told you, don't be walking, shaking your hips.
Mm-hmm.
Bright, you got to just deprogram yourself, because belly dancing involves the hips. You're moving your hips and your legs
uh-huh.
and your arms, the snake arms and all of that. And you smile a lot and you put on the little hip scarves and you just shake.
yeah. I remember, I don't know if you know Betty Dodds, but she did the Anacostia Rollers, and in the park she had a young lady who did the belly dancing. And, you know, that's very impressive to see
mm-hmm.
Women of color doing belly dancing, because, you know, you mostly think of the foreign women doing that. But, you know, it's very impressive when I see women of our color doing belly dancing, and, you know, it's very impressive to me.
Mm-hmm, it is. And belly dancing has been around for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? I don't know about that, but I think as little girls, when we was out playing with the hula hoop, we were probably grooming ourselves to be able to belly dance.
Exactly. You're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. You're absolutely right. And
yep.
dancing is a form of expressing yourself, and it's an extension of yourself. And tap
yes.
dancing, when I lived on Langston Place, they used to put out mm-hmm. a little board, a little cardboard, and I would mm-hmm. dance, and they would throw money at me because I was dancing.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so I've been dancing for a long time, and people will tell you, my circle of friends will let you know, if there's music, especially the wobble, I'm up there dancing.
Well, let me
wow.
tell you. You go to an African birthday party, this is something I learned a couple of years ago. Africans, when they have birthday parties or whatever, when the females are up there dancing, the guys will come there and put money on you. I said, what's this all about? I said, that's how they do it. That's one of their cultural things. So, man, I was up there for hours. I had some money when I left up there.
I belly danced at my aunt's son's graduation or stepson's graduation, and they were bringing the money, putting it in as I danced. So it's fun.
Wow. Okay, and also you mentioned you're a poetress. How did you come about, you know, getting into poetry?
Writing
and
the poems, that was a means of therapy for me when I lost my husband, or when he passed. That's when I started writing the poems.
Wow.
And it helped. I belonged to this widows network in California. I was the youngest one and the only woman of color, and Newsweek did an article about it.
Wow.
But, that's what happened with that.
Go on, Terry.
I'm sorry. How long have you been a widower now and how are
too
you
long. over 20 years. Over 20 years.
All right. And also, my mom, Lola Matthews, she's here from South Carolina, and she's listening to the show as well.
Oh, bless you.
Amanda, she want to say something to you.
Okay.
Special now. I just wondered, I would like to say to each of you that it is beautiful. Just listen to the comments coming in from other people that you are helping somebody. You had suffered, but now you don't have to suffer as hard and suffer by yourself. And that
cool.
is a blessing from God.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I did have an episode last December. I went to Richmond. And somebody had an animal. I came back 3 days later. I was broke out really, really bad. And because I know things happen for a reason. During that time, I got a call from a company in Chicago, and they wanted to know about my experience with eczema, da-da-da-da-da. So I had to keep a journal. So I realized if I didn't break out, I wouldn't have been able to help them. With my information, of sharing my information about it. So anyway, I did my journal, and they asked questions. Would you be willing to give yourself a needle every day? You know, that would guarantee that you wouldn't have eczema. Number one, I know there are no guarantees. Number two, I don't do needles. People that know me real good, they know that I don't even have pierced ears because I don't want any needles in me. So I started asking questions. How much would this dosage be? They said $100. I said, number two, have you tested it? You're calling from England. The pharmaceutical company was in England. And I'm saying, has it been approved by the FDA in the United States? You know, how are you going to market this? Are you just going to market it to children? Do people have to have extreme eczema or what? So, they had questions that they needed to answer and go back and say, okay, well, she has some valid questions. Let's revisit this again. But to piggyback, if I hadn't broke out, I would not have been able to participate in that survey.
But I'm glad to see that you're asking the right kind of questions because there are a lot of health studies out there. I've been to a couple in my lifetime and got paid good money, but I didn't ask the question. I just sort of dollar bills, you know. Wonderful that you're asking the right kind of questions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People that know me, they know I always ask questions. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And in the process of writing this book, my co-leader, Renee Dantzler's daughter, had eczema really, really bad. And when I first saw Jasmine, I saw myself, and I came home, and I just started writing. Okay, and then a couple of years later, I cleared up, and then it broke out again, and I'm saying, Lord, I did what you told me to do. Why am I still breaking out? That particular year, it was on my, I had vitiligo, like Michael Jackson has.
Mm-hmm.
That's under my breast area.
So, you know, then I found out, you know, bras have formaldehyde in them. So it's like, okay,
what?
Can't do that. Yes. Yeah,
bras have formaldehyde in them. What?
Uh-huh. You have to read the labels.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But it was just like Michael Jackson's skin. But, again, you know, people can't see it. Then one year, broke out on my butt. How am I supposed to sit down? So it's been a journey. I can laugh about it now. I keep a food journal. So I told someone the other day, you know, I love crabs and the shrimp. One year I was told I was allergic to over 3,000 different things. Most people have like 200, 300. Mine was over 3,000. The grass, the bushes outside, the oak tree, the elm tree. All of that.
Wow.
So what am I do? I'm just like a little hermit. Or if I go out, I have to make sure I have my head scarf on, a mask on. And when you come in during the springtime with the pollen, I have to make sure I take my clothes off and take a shower immediately.
That's
so it's a lot of maintenance. Then sometimes I have to take the Clorox bleach bath. And people say, oh, you take a bath in Clorox? Yes, you do. And then
wow.
I have to make sure I moisturize. I only have 3 minutes from the time I get out of the shower to moisturize my skin, my whole body.
Well, can I ask you a question real quick?
Mm-hmm.
You was talking about the Clorox bleach bath.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard wise tales growing up. That it's okay if you put maybe a capsule full, and it helps make your skin clean and clear out your pores. Now, I don't know how much you use. Is it safe if you don't have a skin condition to use it, or will it dry you out?
I'm not sure about that. I use it when I'm broke out, as long as I don't have any open sores, because it's kind of it kills the fungus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told by the dermatologist.
How much do you put per tub of
just
water?
A little cap. Like, you're right, like a little cap full.
Okay.
So, but you have a whole bunch of water, you know, a tub full of water.
Yeah, because I have a friend of mine, and I'm not going to say his name because somebody might know him. But anyway, he's an alcoholic, a functioning alcoholic. He can go to work every day and drink and be boozed up half hour to get home and barely walking, but he has this odor coming from his skin, you know, from using alcohol even when
mm-hmm.
drinking it. And I was just wondering, because I had made a suggestion with my big old mouth, why don't you put some Clorox bleach in your thing, you know, and he thought it was crazy, but I don't, that's not a fungus, but you know how people who drink, they have their smell coming through their skin, and I was thinking maybe that could work, you know.
Yeah, well, he probably needs to detoxify his whole body, really.
Really?
Yeah, because that's only on the outside. That's on the inside. So he'll continuously have that smell. He would have to detox.
Mm-hmm. And when he sweats, it comes out of his pores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would have to detox.
I know the only disc. I laugh when you mentioned it. Well, you've been a LIGO or whatever, and the reason I kind of chuckle because I remembered me. I look like a clown. As dark as I am, I had these bright two yellow spots on my face, and they were right. I got big cheeks, and they were right in the middle of my cheeks, and they were almost the size of a quarter. And it was
wow.
Like, oh my God, I was two-toned.
Oh,
that's
no,
where beef came
funny,
in. At. I had to, when you mentioned that, I had to laugh at that. It wasn't funny back then, but now I could just see me, and it's like, Lord, you got these bright pink lips, you got this dark skin, and you got these two marks that are right smack dab in the middle of your cheeks. And so, you know, it's like, wow. And I started trying to wear makeup to darken them because my mother was darker than me. So I would put on her makeup trying to darken them. And let's just do number aggravated.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it was like, wow. And it was interesting.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was interesting.
But I can visualize that.
I did. I had
wow.
And they used to call me Romy the Clown. And I mean, they, kids can be cruel. Some of the names they came up with, and it was like, really?
Oh, God,
really?
I'm a fool.
And I think the diarrhea was because of my skin color and everything that was happening to it. But the gonorrhea, just because it was a disease. I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't win for losing. And I learned to be a hermit. And
yeah.
I had no problem with it because I had my music. I had my crocheting when it wasn't irritating me. And I sat right there with my books, my music, and my crocheting.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we're getting down to the hour, and I want to ask Gwen a few more questions. You're now a leader, group leader for the National Eczema Association. Just exactly what do you do being a group leader?
Okay, we have a support group. I handle the adults that call in, and my co-leader, Renee Dantzler, she deals with the parents of children since she has a daughter that has eczema. In January, we will have a booth at the NBC Health Fair, and we've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years now.
Is that going to be at the convention center?
Yes, uh-huh, in January,
oh, okay.
17th through the 18th, if I'm not mistaken. That's a big turnout. People from all over come out for that. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we do have a booth there for that Saturday and Sunday. We accept calls from people all over the world. I've had a call one year from a lady from India. Her daughter had eczema really bad. And this year we have an exhibit at the Clinton Library in Maryland, a display for eczema. And we're like a support group, so people will know you're not by yourself.
Right.
I've had calls from Atlanta, Georgia, Connecticut, Texas, all over.
And so you're giving out information.
Pardon?
Go on. And you're giving out information from whatever they're asking you, or how does that, you know, what is it all about, you know?
I'm not a doctor, so I can't give out remedy. You know, I just say, just make sure you moisturize your skin.
Oh. Okay.
I can't prescribe pills, anything like that, but I can be there for emotional support and spiritual support. Okay,
right.
The skin is the biggest organ of the body.
Right.
And like your director said, people look at the outside when they should be looking at the inside, but they really can't see the inside. But
right.
What if you're spiritual, you can see people's auras and everything and see the goodness in them and don't just look at the outside of the skin. Since I've been back in this area, I've ran into people that I knew back then, and they, oh, your skin is so beautiful. And sometimes I'm saying, do they have the wrong person? Are they talking to the wrong person or what? And then I see my reflection in the mirror. That's why that music that you're playing, I am beautiful. You are beautiful. With your, everybody has something wrong with them.
Amen.
Right.
When you come to the, and they talk about a pre-existing condition, when you come out of your mother's womb, you got a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
It's called life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we have another caller with their hand. I'm going to bring this caller in. 410, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Jay. What's up, darling? You have a question or comment?
Yes, I just wanted to say that this is a good show. And I wanted to ask your guest, welcome her on the show, first of all, and just wanted to ask, you know, with your experience, have you ever talked to anyone or learned of suggestions for those that get the eczema at certain times of the year? Because I get it really bad in the wintertime.
Okay, yeah, it can be seasonal. And now that the weather is changing, winter, spring, those are the two times that it affects me. So
yes,
make sure you just
real
keep
bad
your,
in the wintertime too.
Just make sure you keep your skin moisturized, drink plenty of water, do your meditations, because I keep saying, okay, I talk as an introvert. I say, okay, you know, skin, you're not going to be like this all the time. It's time for you to start clearing up. Just like I look at myself and I said, okay, well, Lord, I thank you for this body, but some of y'all got to go. Some of these pounds got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you just do your meditations and just see your skin as being beautiful or not broke out. But watch your diet and make sure you moisturize.
Mm-hmm.
And keep those fingernails cut.
Okay.
I have two family members that I really just found out that they had eczema. I didn't even know that they had it. Two of my nieces, my baby brother's daughters have eczema. And, you know, I really don't know how they're handling it or how they're dealing with it because, like I said, I just recently found out. But I did notice on one of my nieces' face it was kind of dark. You know, but I really didn't pay any attention to it. Then I looked at her again, and her face was, like, clear. And then she had told me that she had eczema.
Mm-hmm.
And another one of my nieces, I don't know if she has it on the face or where she has it, but I think she has it in the creases of her arm. Now, what makes it go to just certain parts of the body like that?
If she's scratching. It could, if she's scratching on her arms and then she starts scratching on another part of her body, it can spread like that.
It spreads like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But then with eczema, it's it does affect the bends of your arm, the creases,
mm-hmm.
the back of your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, because I, like I said, I just... Just, you know, just finding that out, and I'm, you know, kind of, you know, I'm feeling kind of blessed that it, you know, it hasn't happened, you know, to me or to my children, you know, because I know it can be very annoying and, you know, it causes such discomfort, you know, because mm-hmm. I've talked to a few people who do suffer from it as opposed to yourself, because I remember when I had told you that I didn't know that you had it when I saw you, because you at that particular time you said you didn't have a flare-up,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, just when it goes away. Now, when it goes away, what is that? Is that because of some change in your body chemistry or because you've done something, like maybe change your eating habits?
Right, a combination of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
A combination
well, if
of
that's
all of
the
that.
Case, then how come when those things, if you keep that up, say you change your eating habit and, you know, different things that you were doing to you know, mainly for the sake of this eczema and it goes away, then if you continuously do that, is it going to come back anyway, or is that the cure for it right there? Because it seems like when you're doing the right thing, changing your diet and, you know, doing the things that you're supposed to, not stressing out and, you know, different things that causes it, and you're no longer affiliated with those things.
The pollution can cause it too, and the seasons are changing, so it's
and
environmental
seasonal,
too.
Yeah.
So there's no really no cure.
There's
period.
No cure for it.
It's not, and I will tell you that it also can be very emotional because, you know, you study in this discomfort. You know, your clothes. You know, depending on, you got to make sure your clothes is loose sometimes because it really can impact you. It can be really raw.
Exactly.
And I understand where she's saying that about the moisturizing. And I've tried a lot of different moisturizing, and sometimes it doesn't always work. And sometimes it could be the most gentle moisturizer that still makes that stinging, burning, discomfort feeling because you've broken out. And then when you start healing, you have to deal with the scabs and the soreness and then the scarring from it
mm-hmm.
that's going to take a while to heal. So it can be very
emotional discomfort. I use oils, almond oil, coconut oil, castor oil sometimes, just natural oils.
What about olive oil? I think that's a very
olive
good
oil
too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I can't use castor oil. It doesn't work because we tried that when I was little, when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Olive oil, and I can use baby oil.
But it has to be that gel. I can use baby oil, but I can use that baby oil or gel, and I use olive oil.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, olive oil is definitely good for any type of skin
ailment.
And then
when we perspire, that can trigger it too.
Exactly. Mm. Because I think it gets into the folds of your body.
Uh-huh.
That skin touches and it sweats. And I think that's one of the things that aggravate. Matter of fact, the last time I had it, that's what precipitated it, was me sweating.
Exactly.
It's like, wow. And
I haven't
had it in years, but it flared. As an adult, I've only had what I was used to it being twice. Well, three times, because I have it now. But near the end of my marriage, I got two nodules on my legs that were the size of, they were bigger than half a dollar. The center of them was like the size of a half a dollar. And then the size around it could be, like 5 or 6, inches diameter. And right in the center of it was a little, pus bump. And I got it all over my legs. I didn't realize they were that visual. I didn't realize you could see them, but they were these big swollen mounds. And one of my teachers pulled me in her office. And she knows my husband, well, knew my husband. And she pulled me in her office, and we had this talk. And she told me what she saw. And she told me where it was coming from. I mean, the whole gamut, because I was completely stressed. I was crazily stressed at that time. And it was when I started rewriting things and changing my life that those things went away.
Yeah, so your nerves can cause it to flare up, too. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Can I ask a question, ladies? What happens if you have a child and sometimes, you know how you buy your daughter or son a necklace or something might not be real? How do you know the difference between a child having an allergic reaction to a chain around their neck opposed to a heat rash, when it's really hot in the summertime, before you want to call it eczema?
It's the way the bumps look.
Really?
You're going to have to get a dermatologist to get it diagnosed. If you're putting a necklace on and it's hot, then you don't know which one is contributed to it. But a dermatologist could really give you a correct diagnosis of what it's coming from. If it's just heat bumps, it's just a little teeny bumps and a couple of days it goes away.
They're much smaller,
They're
much smaller. And if you're used to, if you are a person that lives I'm just saying this from experience, and I'm sure our guests can follow up as well and confirm. But when you have that lifestyle and you live with that eczema, it's always coming back. It's to the point where clockwork, is getting ready to happen. When you see that on people, a lot of times you can deter, you can yourself, and we're not dermatologists, but you can say, oh, that's eczema, or that's heat bumps. You can tell, because it's
exactly.
Almost like you're experiencing it so much that it's like when you see it on somebody else that, oh, they have it. Because other people can frown up and kind of clench and be like, ooh, what's going on with that person in their skin? But because you're experiencing it, so you don't.
How would
I
know?
Stages,
I got grandkids.
Right. You are absolutely right. I saw a mother and daughter this past Saturday at the Amish Market, and the little girl was scratching, and I asked her, do you have eczema? And the mother says, yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
If you have it, It's like a secret code,
So
the signs of eczema is how the bumps look or from the scratching or,
a combination. It's red bumps, little teeny bumps, stuff like that. And then if you start itching really bad and, of course, you're scratching, you shouldn't be scratching, but then you'll know that's eczema.
Okay.
And what you could do is just Google eczema. And back in the day, it was called eczema. Now we're in the 21st century, now they're calling it eczema.
But anyway, Google it and Google the images of it so you can see exactly how it can go from mild to extreme.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Sometimes when you're getting a flare-up, it's almost like an internal burning that you feel.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, Lord, I'm burning. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
you try to treat it to kind of mild it down, but literally you feel a burning from the inside in that area that before you even see the bumps or the discoloration, because
mm-hmm.
it almost always presents itself in a reddish form or a darker form than what your skin is.
Exactly.
Because
mm-hmm. some people think it's a burn.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
wow, okay.
And, Lord, if you have like a little pudge, a little stomach, and it's underneath of those creases in the summertime.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That ain't nothing. And sometimes it takes so long to heal based on where it is because
yeah.
the last time I had it, I got it where your bra go around the side of you at.
Mm-hmm.
Not under
mm-hmm.
the breast, but right there on that side.
Yeah.
And it started going toward the back and coming toward the front. And I'm like, look, I can't be walking around here without no bra. That just can't happen. And it was
well,
like,
not only
oh
that,
God.
But you can't get to that itch. When it's at a place
that
where
was,
you can't
was,
get to it.
Oh, my mother would take the white handkerchiefs, and she would line them all around me and put them on. And that, at least I could get the bra on, you know, to get through the day. But that was nothing nice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Wow. It's good to have this conversation because a lot of times we kind of shy away from that topic. We don't want people to know that we endure that kind of, you know, so I have to give the guest, you know, kudos to actually having a place where people can speak to you all about their situation because it is a problem.
Well,
yes,
right. Well, thank you so much. And my topic was really embracing your skin before winter begins. Okay, make
yeah.
sure you're moisturizing. And my motto is believing in a cure.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Believing
absolutely.
In a cure.
Well, I have one more question to ask before we close out now. You were married as well as Rhea and Jade. How did this play a part with your partner when you had your flare-ups and, you know, in opposed to your personal life, you know, intimacy?
Oh, I
you know, personally, I don't think I broke out when I was married.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I did. I still do.
And how was that handled? I mean, did your...
When it first happened, I didn't like it. And so I would always keep shirts on. If he went to pull my shirt up, if we was being intimate, I'd be pulling my shirt down, keeping the sheets tight on me because I was ashamed. But then,
mm-hmm.
you know, over years, like, I remember him grabbing a sock or a glove that he put on when he was scratching my back. So I'm like, oh my God, you gotta get this, you gotta, because I was using brushes, whatever I could to chase that scratch to get it. And I'm like, this is just, but it was kind of embarrassing to the point where I didn't want him around in the bathroom or anything. Now, over time, 17 years later, yeah, it's like, okay, it is what it is. You know what I get in the wintertime and how bad it gets.
Mm-hmm.
But before, he used to look like, what the hell is wrong with your skin? Like, why do you are breaking out too bad? And then when he realized what it was like, I would try different things. I know in the beginning, it was tedious because the doctor would be like, let's try to do different diets where I couldn't eat but certain things or wash my clothes and certain things to try to see what it was. And then it was like every winter, every time it's cold, this is what happens to you. So, you know, it's like your skin is getting chapped and it's the eczema, you know. So over time I got used to it. But even if I prepare, like it's just the same, moisturize, it just doesn't work to me all the time. It kind of tries to, I think it soothes it, but it still happens. And when it was time for him to rub that stuff on me or whatever, he's touching them bumps and stuff, he'd be looking like, oh, my God, I'm trying. This is just too much. And it's like, I guess he felt like, I don't know if I signed up for this. But over time, you know, it was like, okay. But in the beginning, yeah, it was embarrassing. And it was like hide my body type of thing, you know. Mm. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, this has been one very interesting topic and show, and our guest has definitely educated, I'm quite sure, quite a few people out there who wasn't aware of, you know, how eczema, eczema invaded the body, and, you know, how she's dealt with it. I'm quite sure everybody has a way that they're dealing with it, you know. And, you know, hopefully there will be a cure one day for not only eczema, but all these other diseases that invade our body and, you know, are killing us off, you know. So, yeah, I do appreciate, you know, everybody that came out. And, you know, letting you guys know, Bringing Sexy, you know, back is for the mature listening audience. Our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life, just like tonight. You know, that was very relevant. You know, we appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to gjdelicious37@gmail.com or either my co-host, Rhea Alexis, that's rheaalexis@yahoo.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And if the topic is juicy, we're here for the full 2 hours of adult conversations. Tune in every first Friday starting in January at 11 p.m. for Open Topic, and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for my musical show, Slow Jams or House Music or Happy Hour, and I play music from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, you got to stop by Gail's Blues Joint, where the admission is free, drinks and food is free, no admission, and everybody comes there and they just have a good time. I play the blues and sassy music, and right now I have a drink called the Back to Zero Martini, which everybody loved that. I even sent some over there to my girl Jade's, the G spot. Yeah. And also remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Jade, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, darling, and Terry, you too.
Yes, you just want to go to, if you have a Facebook, make sure you go to look for Erotic Talk Radio, and that way you can get in and you can check our shows out. Miss Delicious is my co-host on my Thursday show, Erotic Talk Radio. And then on Saturdays I have sensual music at the G-Spot Love Zone. So you want to check us out there where we play some oldie but goodie, really nice slow dance.
Okay, and I'm authoress Terry E. Lyle. My website is www.terrylyle.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Yahoo, Google, and all over. I'm also the host of Author's Corner, my radio segment currently under WMEL 104.1 DJ Mel Entertainment Radio. But soon I'm going to be branching out and have my own radio segment independently.
Yay!
Took my mama to Aruba,
yes,
but when
yes.
I come back, I'm going to make it on and popping, and I would like to guess. Give the information to Ms. Delicious so I can contact them to be a guest on my show as well if time permits.
Okay. I'll do that. And Rhea, you want to tell everybody what you do?
Well, I am a reviewer, and I can be located on Facebook, Rhea Alexis M. Banks. And you already got my email address, realexis@yahoo.com, and I'm also founder chair of Chi-Town Reading Circle, which is a premier Chicago reading group.
Okay.
Oh.
Gwen,
how
many people
Rhea?
Get...
Pardon me?
What do you review?
I review books. I'm a book reviewer.
Okay.
All right.
I
can get you to review my next book.
I can pay for your review.
I do independently as well as I review for two different entities.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. And she gets really down with those reviews. Okay, Gwen, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you as well, darling.
Okay. My email is living, L-I-V-I-N-G, W-E-C, as in cat, Z, as in zoo, E-M-A, @gmail.com. Living with eczema @gmail.com. Living, W-E-Z-C-E-M-A @gmail.com.
Okay. And, of course, you guys know that, like Jada said, every Thursday I'm over there on her show, Erotic Talk Radio. That's every Thursday at 9 p.m. Excuse me. And like I also had mentioned, I'm here every Wednesday, 10:30 p.m., and the first of the month, starting back in January, we'll be having open topic and, you know, like my Blues Joint show. Also, I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/ Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm on Twitter at I'm at Twitter, Delicious58. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/ JJ Publishing. Also, I am a poet, speaker, ghostwriter, author, and owner of my own independent publishing company. And if there's anything else you need to know about me, feel free to Google me. Google Gail Delicious Johnson if you need any further information. And with that being said, thank you, Rhea. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Jade. And most of all, thank you, Gwen, for being this evening's guest. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
For listening
good night,
and
everybody.
For the invitation.
Yes.
Look forward to doing it next year in October.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get in touch with you and give you Terry Lyle's information, give her your information so you can be a guest over there on her show as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, be looking for that. And everybody have a beautiful evening. Thank you. Good night, smooches.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Touch my skin and tell me what you're thinking. Take my hand and show me where we're going. Lie down next to me. Look into my eyes and tell me, oh tell me what you're feeling. So sit on top of the world and tell me how you're feeling. What you feel is what I feel for you. Take my hand, and if I'm lying.
radio show on the internet.